Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Tom Collins. Rare studio appearance for you. Well, getting more common. David Jennings on the line as well as Niall O'Reilly. Now, this is a Tipping Postcast, so we're going ahead to look at the ITV action at Nace on Saturday. Before then, we go over to Punchestown on Sunday. But first off, no racing in Britain for, well, at least until Wednesday, due to equine influenza. DJ, a potentially damaging respiratory virus, very, very contagious, is stopping the transport of horses, is impacting all different types of people in different industries. It's a bit of a disaster, isn't it?
Yeah, just like I think like everybody else, we're just praying that it'll get back going next Wednesday. I think the timing is so bad because I think it's only when you see news bulletins and you hear people talking about it that a conversation about equine influenza cannot be held without the word Cheltenham entering that conversation. And I think because we're engrossed in it, we kind of almost forget just how huge it would be if Cheltenham was affected. And think that is like, it's just the timing of it is just so bad. But fingers crossed, the BHA have acted really quickly. And let's hope that kind of that quick thinking and all the measures that they've taken, which is quite severe. Like, you could imagine, I'd say there are people saying, oh my God, what are you doing here? Like, you can still run racing and, you know, have procedures at the racetracks and that. But I think they've made the right move. It's short term pain for long term gain, if you ask me.
Yeah, we're due to get an update very soon. But Niall, you've been bringing out various markets on when racing will return and the festival. Just run us through what sort of markets you've got available for people to bet on at the minute.
Yes, we obviously had a lot of time. Will racing go ahead in the UK on Wednesday the 13th of February? That's obviously the scheduled date. At the moment, we're no is 3 to 10 and yes is 2 to 1. So we obviously don't think it's going to go ahead in that date. But that, I don't know how accurate that is, really, DJ, to be honest. But yeah, that's what we come up with anyway. Will the Cheltenham Festival start on the 12th of March? Yes is 1 to 10 and no is 9 to 2. We obviously think it will definitely go ahead because it'll be a lot shorter to go ahead. But on that date, it's not definite. What date will it resume? After Thursday the 14th of February is 4 to 7. Before that date is 2 to 1. And Thursday the 14th of February is 7 to 2.
Okay, and that's fantastic. Three markets we have. TC, this weekend, no racing this weekend, you know, let alone Cheltenham, Native River, Clanders, Oboe, horses like that due to reappear. It's very much a big shame, isn't it? And it'll be a catastrophe if the festival doesn't go ahead.
Yeah, look, it'll be absolutely terrible time for punters, people who work at racing posts like us and just people who sit at home really and want to watch sport, because Cheltenham Festival is a fantastic occasion for over the week. And yeah, it'd be dreadful if it doesn't go ahead, but I think it will. The BHA have taken decent steps to make sure that Cheltenham will go ahead.
Yeah, of course, you know, Australia, they had an outbreak of it in 2007, but none of their horses were vaccinated, but that had massive, massive impacts for them. To keep up to date with everything on the current equine influenza crisis, go to racingpost.com. Right, we'll crack on now with Saturday's racing at Nace. It's going to be on ITV, which is fabulous news. Now, funny enough, we're starting off with Division 2 of the Maiden Hurdle at 1:40. Niall, no betting at this stage, but just give us an outline of who you perhaps fancy and who you think could go off favourite.
Yeah, so this is called the Cavan Developments Maiden Hurdle. Funnily enough, I'm actually a Cavan native, and it's good that we're actually getting some international coverage on ITV tomorrow.
You know what Cavan people are famous for, Maddie?
Do I want
Being
to know?
Class.
Being utterly, totally miserable. If you're as mean as a Cavan man, apparently.
That's a false
really?
Accusation.
Yeah.
No, are you miserable?
No, not at all. I'd like to think so, yeah. I actually think this race will be coming home to Cavan as the sponsor himself. It's Oliver McKiernan, and he actually has a cracking chance of winning this race. He trains a horse called All for Joy, who I'd imagine will be around the head of the market. Now, he's loads of ability, though he's very headstrong. The last day, he pulled six lengths clear, turning for home in a good bumper at Leopard Stand around Christmas, eventually beaten by Neptune of Dermot Wells, who's a useful horse. That was over 2 mile 4, and he drops back to 2 mile here, and they've stuck a hood in him, which should help him settle. Now, it doesn't look the strongest race, and I think he's got the best form. So, yeah, All for Joy, pretty confident selection for me here.
Okay, TC, you mentioned beforehand you think a lot of horses are going to sort of be odds-on chances in these races. I joke that you're going to put them all in a muggy accumulator and that'll be that, because you know, often a favourite backer. Who's your fancy?
Yeah, I'm with Niall, and yes, he will be favourite. All for Joy. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go off odds on. He should be odds on, in my opinion. Really good horse, consistent form, and unlucky not to have won so far, having been placed, finishing second actually in all five bumper runs. Ran a right on his sole hurdles start in December 2017. Beat a decent horse in a point as well before he started running under rules, so he has got plenty of ability. The hood will help him settle. Dropping trip is fine and should win.
Fab, nice and simple. And DJ?
God, I maybe I'm looking at the wrong race. I don't think All for Joy will be odds on at all.
Do you like advantage point?
Yeah, I do. Well, I think All for Joy will be certainly 5-2 anyway, I'd imagine. Like the last, at Leperson over Christmas in that bumper, I know it was 2.5 miles, and it actually traded at 1.26 in running. It looked all over. But then it was beaten 7.5 lengths, and I just actually think he's quite a weak finisher, no matter what trip he's running over. I think Advantage Point has more scope for improvement. He actually posted the same RPR as All for Joy last time out of 1.24 when he was third at Nace, and I just thought it was a real nice run. Like the time before that, he was fourth to Triplicate in a good maiden hurdle at Galway, and he's a kind of a horse I think is only going to get better with time. And that third to Borderline Chateau, I thought it was a nice run. I thought he actually ran better than the distance he was beaten suggested, and I actually think he'll start favourite, never mind All for Joy starting odds on. I think Advantage Point will probably be favourite.
Yeah, I've got to admit, he was the one that sort of took my eye. Some nice form there and stepping back to 2 miles. We'll move on to the 2.10 now, the BBA Ireland Limited Opera Hat Mare's Chase. It's a listed race. Now, Prava Laguna, I'm so proud I've managed to say that correctly first time, was really impressive at Limerick last time. And I think she's probably just got the edge over these, hasn't she, Tutu?
Yeah, she's the best horse in the race. She does come with risks, though. She's not the best jumper, but I think she does win the clear round. Just best horse on form, really. She was thought good enough to run in the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham last year. Really impressive when winning at Punchestown in April, and again at Limerick last time out by 8 lengths. What's she really facing, to be honest? Synopsis ran poorly last time at Huntingdon when pulled up. Bader's Hill needs 3.5 miles plus, let alone 2 miles here. Prava Laguna wins with a clear round.
Yeah, I was going to say Bader's Hill likely to have other targets. Synopsis, she was quite impressive when winning at Cheltenham, but that probably wasn't a great race. And then, as you say, pulled up at Huntingdon last time in that good race behind Happy Diva. DJ, are you in agreement with Tom?
Yeah, I think this is the one that will start odds on. I think Prava Laguna will be pretty short. I'd imagine 4-6, maybe 8-13, Prava Laguna. She won by 8 lengths last time at Limerick, again at that Christmas festival. It was on the last day. Now, that was probably, she was a little bit flattered by that because Creation fell at the last that day, so she was a little bit flattered. But her form prior to that, the 4 to La Martellana Killarney, although she was favourite, she just needed to get her eye in that day. And I'd say the ground was probably as quick as she would have wanted it as well. Now, she's got a pretty high level to reach. Like, Synopsis is rated 135, which in a race like this is a pretty high mark. But whether Synopsis would win a handicap off 135, I'm not quite sure. I'd say Prava Laguna is the scope for more improvement over fences. And I know she can throw in the odd clanger like she did early on at Limerick, but with a clear round, I think Prava Laguna will win.
Okay, Niall, anything else to add?
Yeah, this will be odds on. I didn't really like the Elliott pair coming off disappointing runs. Beta Z, as has already been mentioned, needs further, and there's no real depth to the race apart from that. So yeah, Prava Laguna for me.
Okay, fantastic. We'll move on to the 2.40 EMS Copias rated novice hurdle. Good race this. Joseph O'Brien, he's been at the forefront of the news recently, enjoying winners at the Dublin Racing Festival. Triumph Hurdle looks to be in his grasp, etc, etc. And he saddles Canito here, who was really impressive last time out. That was over the course and distance and Bands of Outlaws as well. Now, does he hold the key? He looks like it to me.
Yeah, he'll definitely be favoured, I'd say. I'm actually going to take him on myself with Cocoa Beach for Gordon Elliott. Now, he ran terrible the last day. It was actually quite well backed against some decent stablemates, Cur Sublime being one of them, and I'd be amazed if he's not a lot better than that. Canito obviously sets the standard. They'll be a little bit worried about this smaller field, as I've read reports he never really settled properly in France, and I think that the bigger field was an advantage from the last day. He was quite weak in the market that day as well, so I'd have that as a small worry. I like Band of Outlaws, so I don't think he's a world beater. So yeah, I'll just go with Cocoa Beach. I'm hoping he's a decent price against the two of them.
Okay, so a nice alternative there. DJ, as I say, Joseph O'Brien doing wonderful things. Do you think he's going to have the first Cheltenham Festival? You know, fingers crossed it goes ahead in his own name this year.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think Sir Eric looks bomb-proof, really, in the Triumph Hurdle. Very hard to pick holes in his performance last weekend, and he's going to have so many runners. Like, even in the Fred Winter, I'd imagine Fine Brunello would be one that caught my eye, and that was second to Fakir Dedare last time. And Fakir Dedare will probably go for the Supreme, and then he's got Larichberg, and he's got tons of other horses that are potentially well handicapped. So I'd imagine this will be the year that Joseph will officially break his duck. I actually like his other runner here, Band of Outlaws, who shaped a promise on its hurdling debut. Probably would have won if it jumped the last at Cork in December. Then it returned at Limerick when it won a maiden hurdle. And I thought it did the job quite well that day. It looked a good race. Mix Moon was very well supported for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh that day. And Fine Brunello, who chased home Fakir Dedare at Cheltenham last time, who, as I said already, could be a Fred Winter type. He was fourth in the race. Tiger Voice, another well-touted horse, was sixth. I thought it was a decent maiden hurdle, and I thought Band of Outlaws produced a performance which suggested there was more to come. And while Canito might be slight favourite, these would be close in the market. I'd imagine they'd be first and second in the market. Canito might be just favourite, but I'd favour Band of Outlaws, hopefully at around 5-2 or so.
Okay, that's interesting. I must admit, when I looked at it, I thought Canito got favourite. Entries in the Supreme, the Ballymore and the Triumph TC, do you see him winning here and going on to do well in one of those?
No, I'm with DJ, actually. I think I do think Canito will be favourite, but Band of Outlaws really impressed me last time out. He was very, very novice in his first start over hurdles and basically missed every single hurdle, especially the last when bungling it and losing multiple lengths. But he stayed on really strongly to only be beaten, I think, just over a length at the line. And last time out, jumped a lot better. I think he's open to any amount of improvement, and he's better than Maze Runner, who actually theoretically holds Band of Outlaws on the first start. But, I mean, Band of Outlaws should reverse that form. And I think Joseph O'Brien might have a 1-2 with Band of Outlaws coming on top of Canito.
Okay, that'll be interesting to see if we can get some bigger prices on that race. The 3.10 is the O'Driscoll O'Neill Handicap Chase 0-30 race. And Nellie Pledge is one that I looked at in this. Would have finished second to a good mare, Camellia Decott, last time, but for falling. Can she get her revenge, TC?
I did look at Nellie Pledge, and I thought she did bring some good form into the race based on that Camellia Decott run, but she was miles behind Camellia Decott, and she was fading and losing lengths all the time, and jumping's always a concern with her. So I think she's now one to take on. Roaring Bull's going to be prominent in the market, but he's not a superstar at all. It's just been well placed by Gordon Elliott, in my opinion, and I don't know, he's been running over 2.5 miles, but even though he's dropping back in trip, I still think he needs to be dropped back further to maybe 2 miles. He's quite a weak finisher.
Okay.
So I'm going to be going with Paul Nolan's Peculiar Genius. Nolan's got his team in flying form. He's 38% strike rate in the last 2 weeks for 3 winners from 8 runners. I think he could be well treated off a mark of 115. Ground's not a problem. Step up in trip is exactly what he needs. And he's shaped as though he's a horse that could potentially improve for the rest of the year.
Okay, DJ, over to you next.
Yeah, this is tricky, Maddie. This is really tricky. I'd imagine Nellie Pledge would be towards the top of the market. The one that I think is the best handicapped horse in the race is actually the top weight, Velocity Boy. But he's just crying out for some more cut in the ground. So I was praying all week that there'd be more rain for this fella, because I think he has the potential to run up a sequence over fences off his mark at the minute. I spoke to William Murphy for the previews earlier, and he said the funny thing about Velocity Boy is he thinks probably 2.5 is his best trip. But he actually thinks 3 miles on heavy ground will probably where you'll see him at his best, because he's able to go at the same pace on heavy ground as he is on good ground, and it inconveniences others more than him. Like last time at Fairy House, like he was beaten 38 lengths. That was 3.5 miles, I think, that race at Fairy House. And Dennis O'Regan was trying to nurse him into contention. Didn't finish it out that well, probably didn't get home. But the time before that in the Cork National, he travelled all over the winner most of the race. He fell at the second last. He would have been banged there, would have been placed. That was off the same mark of 130. If he can get away with the ground, and I'm hoping he can, there's yielding in the description at the moment. If it stays yielding, I think Velocity Boy, and it will be beautiful to watch, because this is a Dennis O'Regan special, a horse that needs tender handling, delivered at the last minute, a keen sort. So it'll be nice to watch, especially if he wins. So Velocity Boy for me.
Yeah, I love those sort of old school Dennis O'Regan rides, patient and then that last minute burst. Niall?
I actually think tomorrow might finally be the day for Score Mar, who could be chucked in his old form off 128 here. Now, 2 years ago, he ran a cracker in a very good Carroll Cup, finishing sixth off 138 behind Super Sunday. Things haven't really gone his way chasing for various reasons. Though he showed up much better in his last 2 starts, particularly last time in the Paddy Power Chase at Leopardstown, where I think he just failed to stay at a 3 mile. This trip suits him ideally. The ground should be fine. And with Mark Walsh booked, I think he looks set to go very close.
Excellent. Now, our final port of call for ITV Racing at Nace is the 340 Adair Manor Opportunity Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles. Again, a race where Joseph O'Brien's sure to at least be near the top of the market. Leave Your Mark, form behind the likes of Felix Desjardins. This is handicap debut off a mark of 107. He was one that caught my eye. TC, what do you fancy?
I fancy There Is No Doubt for Shane Crawley, who's a very shrewd operator. He obviously trains Sassy Diva, who's improving up the ranks at the moment. Mm. But this, There Is No Doubt, must be better than a handicap mark of 103, surely. Ran really, really promisingly a number of occasions for former trainer Augustine Leahy. I think that's how you pronounce the name. Hacked up last time out when beating subsequent winner Camille, who bolted up the other day in England. He's moved to Ian Jardine's yard now, I think, from Joseph. And he was just very unlucky. What does that even say? I can't even read what that says.
He was that very teaches you. You've got to make your notes clear.
I know. Very unlucky at Thurles in November when falling 3 out on first start for the yard. I just think he'll win again for Shane Crawley.
Okay, we got there in the end. DJ, are you in agreement with Tom?
It has a chance, definitely has a chance. Shane Crawley was among the winners at the Dublin Racing Festival thanks to Sassy Diva, so his team are in good form. I'm going to chance Empire Burleck for Gordon Elliott and Kevin Brogan. This horse was 4 to Rhinestone in a maiden hurdle at Nace in November. He was only beaten 14 lengths, really caught the eye that day, but he hasn't really progressed as you would hope. But this is his third run in the handicap, and there's much more sign of life last time at Punchestown, where I thought he actually ran quite well. He was third to Free Ranger off the same mark of 105, and he's a typical kind of Gordon Elliott project where I'd imagine early on in his, maybe after a second or third run in a maiden, he realised this horse isn't good enough to win a maiden hurdle. So he runs in a handicap now off 105. I think he's a bit better than that, so he'd be the one for me. Like, he's no world beater, but I don't think there is any world beaters in this race. So Empire Burleck for me.
Okay, Fab and Niall.
Yeah, I think I found one here that could be any price based on some of his recent runs. It's called Coral Blue. It's trained with Seamus Fahey. He's a 4-year-old down the bottom of the handicap off 99. Though I thought he was interesting in particular on his first two runs. His second run where he fell behind Human East when set to finish around fifth, before falling at the second last. That race has worked out really well, with the second got trumped a rate around 130, and the fourth Union Gap, who was upside Coral Blue at that second last, now rated 118. It would all point towards Coral Blue being potentially well treated off 99 to me, and he gets the 4-year-old allowance too, and his claimer takes off an additional £2, so he's running off just 10 stone. He ran okay last time behind Band of Outlaws, though the ground wouldn't have suited, and when his chance was gone, he was given a really easy time to my eye. I thought he was interesting. He was actually quite well bred as well. He's out of a mare that was rated 86 in the flat by Big Bad Bob. So a rating of 99, I definitely think it's fair. I would think he'll be about 33 to 1 places tomorrow. And if he is, I'll be definitely having a good each way betting that.
Wow, you're very persuasive.
Whether he wins or loses, that is a shout.
What a tip, yeah. You two missed that one, but I'm liking the sound of that from Niall.
Yeah, plenty of time, as I said.
Yeah, all of us are just too busy. No, I'm joking. Right, we'll go back to Punchestown on Sunday just after this break.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday Tipping Post. Gas going to crack on with the action at Punchestown on Sunday now, starting off with the 145 PP Hogan Memorial Cross Country Chase. Perhaps some of these could go on to run at Cheltenham. Josie's Order's an old favourite in there. Ballycasey as well going cross country chasing. Home Farm, a good horse back in the day, as well as Ennis Skillen, the old boy in there as well. TC, let's start off with you. First off, Josie's Order's. I mean, he's always promised a lot, but last time that third, it reads okay, but I get the feeling they always thought he'd be a little bit better than what he's achieved.
Look, he's been a great horse for Ender Bolger and John Joe O'Neill, and I backed him last time out at Cheltenham and was pretty gutted that he didn't actually win the race, won by fact of the matter. I don't know, Ender Bolger's just won this race 6 times in the last 10 runnings. I'm no cross-country expert, to be honest, but Josie's Order just stands out, doesn't he, for Bolger. Any trip between 3 miles and 4 mile plus is fine. Ran well, obviously, at Cheltenham last time. This is probably a prep for the festival and holds the main danger Hurricane Darwin on form.
Okay. DJ, how strong is the cross-country division at the minute? Obviously, Tiger Roll, the Grand National winner, is probably going to run in the race at Cheltenham again. But other than that, do you think it's a race where something could pop up and really surprise?
I hope so, because I think we'll see the cross-country winner at Cheltenham here. The one I really like is Ballycasey, who obviously Ballycasey is 12 and his best days are behind him. And, you know, there's people who can question, is he putting it all in now? But I watched that race at Cheltenham so many times, the Fact of the Matter race at Cheltenham so many times, and he just looked like he absolutely adored the place. He's been back over to Cheltenham since with Patrick. There's some brilliant footage on the Racing Post.
Oh, I was stolen my plug. I was about to do that. Great stuff, Maddie. That, wasn't it?
Ah, it's great. Like, and just to get kind of a first-hand view of it, it was terrific to watch. And just this horse, it just, like, Patrick loves that race, and I'd imagine this has been put aside for this race for a long, long time. And the key thing, I think, with Ballycasey is if you go through his form, he's ran so many times in other seasons, and he's been, you know, quite busy running Grade 2s and Grade 3s. Since October, he's only ran once, and that was in the race in Cheltenham. I'd imagine this is a prep for the festival. Whether he's fit enough to win this race or not, I don't know. But at the moment, he'd be my idea of the winner of the Cheltenham race. I think there was 20s earlier on in the week, and I see in a preview, Mick Fitzgerald put him up as his nap at the whole meeting, and I think he's into 14s now for the Cheltenham race. And I still think 14s is value, because if he does enjoy it and comes on fitness-wise as much as he looked to enjoy it in December, he could take a world of beating.
Yeah, you mentioned fitness worries and things like that. Do you reckon this 3-mile, 1 furlong will suit him more than a sort of, you know, nearly 4-mile trip?
Yeah, it's funny in these races, you can never tell. They usually go really slow. So while you'll see trips of 3-mile, 1, 3.5 miles, a lot of the time for the first mile, they're only just jogging around like the start of a kind of a training session for footballers or that. I think it's not really a proper, like, it's not like the Grand National. And I think Ballycasey will be fine. He's not the strongest finisher, but I just think he could be the one for Cheltenham this year.
Okay, could be a bit of a plot. Niall, over to you.
Yeah, I totally agree with DJ. I'd advise taking that 14, because we're actually 8, if there is 14 still around, for the cross-country at Cheltenham. Tomorrow, I definitely like him here. Now, the one doubt I have about him is getting home over that extended trip at Cheltenham. Is it, what, 3 miles 6?
Yeah.
He should get this 3 mile okay tomorrow. Though he never really got 3 mile properly in normal races. Aside from that, he's definitely the classiest horse in the field. And as DJ said, he's been shaping really well. He takes the banks really well. Josie's orders should be fav and should make a decent price for Ballycasey. And if so, I'll be having a good each way bet on him.
Okay, so lots of Cheltenham pointers, but equally a little bit of concern about him over that extended trip. We'll see how he gets on Sunday. The 220 INH Stallion Owners EBF Novice Hurdle is a listed contest. Now, some of these were obviously due to race at the Dublin Racing Festival. DJ, you were there. First off, just a note on the ground there. Caused a lot of debate, lots of non-runners. So it's good to see the likes of Sonoria and Prince Dobrel reappearing here.
Yeah, I don't know, I keep changing my mind. I wonder, you know, could they have watered, and then you obviously realise if they watered it would have froze, and maybe it's just one of these bizarre situations. But if it were to happen again and it became, you know, a recurring theme, something would have to be done about it. It was frustrating every time there was a klaxon at Leopardstown last weekend. You just knew it was for a non-runner. And one of the horses that was due to run that a lot of people fancied was Sonoria, who I think would be very hard to beat here. She was pretty spectacular, I thought, in that maiden hurdle at Down Royal on St Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, as you call it. To beat Calico Jack, who's a good horse and had some quality form. Like, Calico Jack would have won a maiden hurdle at Goran Park earlier on this season, only for making a Horlicks of the last. And Sonoria just went by him as if Calico Jack was absolutely useless. Won by 13 lengths. The first time out against Ballyniti in the same race as Calico Jack, it was just a real promising effort. Won its maiden point at Boris, I think, quite impressively. If there's enough cut in the ground for Henry de Bromhead to let her take her chance, I think she'll be hard to beat. She's rated 128. I think she's at least a mid-130s mare, so Sonoria for me.
Okay, Sonoria for you. Must thank you, DJ, for your cooperation when I was covering that live blog during the Dublin Racing Festival. All those non-runners coming through. It was good to have the help. TC, you...
My finger was so sore, I was nearly a non-runner myself.
TC, you with DJ on Sonoria.
Yeah, I don't think it's a betting race for me. I do think Sonoria is probably the most likely winner, though. I basically just echo everything that DJ just said there. She's a really talented mare, and hopefully... she can go on and win again. I think Top Moon's an interesting horse, though, if you want to oppose her at a price. Improver and potential unknown quantity was sent off 11-8 last time out on debut for Joseph O'Brien. Finished really well after being held up off the pace and has probably learnt a lot for that. So the forecast, Top Moon, Sonoria, box okay. Forecast, probably the way forward.
All right, Niall, have you got something, you know, that we might not be aware of already down the bottom anywhere?
Yeah, Chosen Mate was the one I quite liked. It bolted up for Elliot and Hurd's debut last month and looks a horse of massive potential. It's hard to know how good he is with no collateral form to go off, but on visuals, I'd side with him here. But again, it's a very tricky race that they're all pretty useful.
Yeah, just seeing you got an RPR of 139 for that, so it can't be too bad at all. We'll move on now to the 250 Punchestown Festival ticket deal discount maiden hurdle. Now, Chiefly Park have had a lot of sort of press on over jumps as opposed to over flat recently. They have Envoy Allen, Champion Bumper Horse, Malone Road before that as well. And Lethal Steps is one that caught my eye here, likely to perhaps go for the Fred Winter at the festival. Second to Canetho, who we were talking about earlier last time. TC, is he the one for you, or are you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, I think Lethal Steps will win the race. Basically, as you just said, make sure you watch the Canetho race on Saturday at Nace, because there's a good bit of collateral form there. Lethal Steps stayed on really well behind Canetho that day after being given plenty of ground to try and make up on the front runner. Lethal Steps will probably go for the Fred Winter, as you say, but he does also have entries in the Supreme, Ballymore and Triumph, so... Gordon Elliott
covering all the bases, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Just in case he does come up with an incredible performance or something and they want to reroute him. He was a good flat horse, rated 102, improving over hurdles, and should be another win for Chiefly Park.
Okay, not to put you on the spot, but would you be interested at Cheltenham?
No.
Okay, succinctly done. DJ, Lethal Steps, what can you tell us about him? He was a good flat horse, as Tom just touched on.
Yeah, and huge improvement both mentally and physically. I thought last time that was a really good run. I'd imagine Fred Winter. He's Fred Winter written all over him. I'd imagine he'll end up there. There's another experience on that, another stepping stone on the road to that race. The one I like is Young Ted, though, who I think is probably a little bit underestimated. Like, he's posted RPRs already of 122 and 119. The key thing with Young Ted is I'd say he just wants softer ground, and it's been unfortunate for connections of soft ground horses, as we know all winter. Young Ted's best performance came second time out at Thurles on bottomless ground. He bolted up by 14 lengths under Nina. He was then thought good enough to run in the Grade 1 bumper at the Punchestown Festival. He actually ran on again at the end. He was sixth to Tornado Flyer, again on yielding ground, probably a little bit too quick for him. I thought he's shaped with promise on both his efforts over hurdles at Navan and Nace. And I don't think, like, it's a nice maiden hurdle, but maiden hurdles, once you get into February, usually the stars are gone. And I always thought all season that Young Ted would win a maiden hurdle when the stars are gone. And I don't know if there's a star in this, so Young Ted for me.
Okay, Niall, just going back to Lethal Steps, he's likely to be pretty short, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how short he'll be, probably 5-2 or something like that, I guess. I quite like him. He could be a Fred Winter horse, I think you mentioned. He's just took a while to come to hand, but earlier on in the season, I remember reading Gordon Elliott's stable tour and saying he jumped really, really well. Now, not sure what happened the first day, but the last day he jumped really well. I don't think this is the strongest race, as DJ said, and I think he'll win.
Okay, fab. Moving on to the 350, the Richard Mayer Memorial Rated Novice Chase. Impact Factor could be another winner for Robbie Power and Jessica Harrington here, since Stevens Green in there as well. Riders on the Storm entered in that Dublin Racing Festival, another who was took out, as we mentioned earlier. Who do you think is going to go off favourite, Niall?
In this race, Impact Factor would look the most likely favourite to me. Now, he obviously ran into Kilios Emery, who's pretty short in the Arkle betting now. And I was really impressed by how he stuck on that day. Like, his other form this season is pretty strong as well. I don't think anything else is up to that sort of level in this race. So, yeah, I think he'd be relatively short, probably sub 2-1. I think he'd win.
Okay, fab, DJ?
this is my strongest fancy of the weekend, Maddie. And he mightn't be favourite when betting opens up tomorrow, but I'd be fairly sure he'll start favourite, and that is Riders on the Storm, who, if a race was ever invented for a horse, this is it. It's a rated novice chase for horses that were not rated 100, that were rated 135 or lower over hurdles. He was rated 132. And for horses, I think it's for horses that haven't had any more than two runs over fences. Now, I know Impact Factor, I think, has had three, has he now? Which kind of put me off a bit. But
he's had more than that.
Yeah, he's had loads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, I counted, I think.
7 over fence, okay. Well, I don't know the exact conditions. Obviously, I don't know the exact conditions of the race. I think it's definitely for horses that rate 135 or less over hurdles.
Yeah.
Riders on the Storm is rated 132, and I always thought they were just it was just getting rid of time before he went over fences. His two runs so far, first time out he bumped into Mangley Can, and it was a proper Mangley Can at Punchestown. He was so eye-catching. I thought he jumped really well. A nice, pleasant experience that day at Punchestown. And then he came out in the Grade 1. I'd advise anybody to have a look at the Grade 1 race at Limerick over Christmas, because turning into the home straight, you've got Get a Bird, who was obviously still travelling, might have won if he didn't fall at the last. Then you've got Hardline, rock solid form, who ended up winning the race. And then you look back and you see this horse in blue and pink colours, and you say to yourself, what the hell is that? That's still travelling so sweetly. That was Riders on the Storm. He finished third. He ran so much better than the distance he was beaten. He's now stepping down from a Grade 1 into a rated novice chase. I think he has the potential to be about 145 or 150 even horse over fences when he gets his act together. He can be keen, but he's a big strapping horse. He's a really good jumper. And I, for one, will be really disappointed if he doesn't win this.
Okay, confident selection. TC?
Yeah, exactly what TJ just said. I mean, I don't really have much more to add, to be honest. He ran really well in the Grade 1 last time out, as DJ said. Raw immature horse last year over hurdles. Showed good form, though, including second in a listed race. Two tough tests this year. Should win, and also probably my banker of the weekend.
Okay, save that for a bit later on. The 420 is the Boyle Sports Grand National Trial Handicap Chase. Irish Grand National winner General Principle does run in it. Giganstown have got 7 entries. That's not much by their standards. But this should be a really informative race. Niall, who's your selection?
I'm quite sweet in one here in Fitzhenry. Now he's trained by Paul Nolan. He's running first time blinkers. He ran an absolute cracker in the Paddy Power last time, and he's very unexposed over these staying trips, and I think he'll probably improve for it. As I think Tom mentioned earlier, Paul Nolan has been absolutely bombing of late. It was a 38% strike rate. His run to form is very high as well. Mark Walsh takes the ride. And yeah, in a race that actually lacks a bit of depth, in my opinion, in terms of well-handicapped horses, I think he'll take a lot of beating.
Okay, DJ.
This is so open. Fitzhenry definitely has a chance. I think Dunicus has a chance. I think Solomon Grundy has a big chance. Like, you can make cases for probably 10 of the 17. The one that I'm going to take a flyer on, and this will be a massive price, is Wishmore for Joseph O'Brien and Andrew Ring. This horse has been so disappointing. I've kind of thought he was a potential big kind of handicap chase winner in waiting. I thought he might be an Irish National horse in time. He's moved from Mouse Morris to Joseph O'Brien, and his jumping has just been deplorable. Holy God. He just, every time he gets himself back into contention, he just absolutely clouts one and takes it out by the roots. It was the same story at Limerick in the Tim Duggan. It was the same story at Gorham Park earlier on in the season when he fell, and he didn't jump well at Navan the time before. But he's up in trip now, and I've always thought once he steps up in trip, we'll see the best of him. This is a marked step up in trip from 2 mile 3. He might just be able to get into a better rhythm over this longer trip. He might want a little bit more cut in the ground as well. So if they do go slow and he jumps well, he might be one for maybe in play punters. Because if he does get into a rhythm early, off 130, like he started the season off 132, and I thought he was well handicapped. He's down to 130 now. He's won twice four times actually for Mouse Morris, and he's going to be a huge price. He's going to be 25 to 1, I'd say. But I do think if he gets his jumping together, which is a big if, I think he's got a big chance.
Okay, so DJ hoping Wishmore can jump better. Who's your fancy, Tom?
Well, I mean, this is as far from my ideal betting race that you'll ever find. I think I'll have more chance at Portman Park or something. But I've just come down on Willie Mullins' Isle of Hope and Dreams. Will come on a lot for his reappearance run, like most of Mullins have this season. He was pulled up on that occasion, ran pretty deplorably, to be honest. But he did enter this race last year on the back of two pulled up efforts and finished second. So, you know, he could come straight back to form. I don't know, he's just still potentially unexposed in the sphere. He's a strong traveller as well. I don't know, it's not the race I'd be betting in, to be honest.
No. Okay. So not a confident selection from you. We'll take a quick break before we get the lads' weekend naps.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back. Now, before we get the lads' naps, have you got any fancies elsewhere? Tom, we'll go to you first.
Not necessarily a bet, but a horse to watch at Nace on Saturday in the bumper called Front View for Joseph O'Brien. Now, Derek O'Connor, who rode Front View on debut, was absolutely blown away by the horse that beat Front View, Blue Sari, who's subsequently been bought by Jake McManus.
Yes, yeah.
So it'd be very interesting to see how Front View gets on at Nace. I presume he's going to win, probably with head and chest, to be honest. Doesn't look the strongest race, but I'm a big fan of this Blue Sari, and I think he could be one to watch at the festivals.
Yeah, champion bumper winner, do you think?
If he goes to Cheltenham, yes. If not, then Punchestown, certainly.
Okay, confident there. And Niall?
Yeah, just the 110 in Nace, Sky Marshall for Charles Burns. Now, just watch his last run back, because any Charles Burns horse that goes off 33-1 and runs like that must have a lot of ability. He's up against Debouche here, but yeah, I'd definitely be backing him.
Okay, Debouche, of course, good horse a couple of seasons ago, has yet to sort of put it all together recently. We'll get your naps then.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings.
Riders on the Storm, 3:50, Punchestown Sunday.
Tom Collins.
Riders on the Storm, 3:50, Punchestown Sunday.
God, it's like a parrot in the studio. Niall O'Reilly.
3:40 Nace tomorrow, Coral Blue. Now, it's a massive price, but we're paying sixth place in the race, so it's definitely an each way bet.
Yeah, and before we leave, I noticed there's some big news, Paddy Power news.
Yeah, we've just got a non-runner no bet on every race at Cheltenham, so we were already doing the championship races, but now every race is now non-runner no bet on Paddy Power.
Fabulous, that's something to get stuck into whilst the racing is abandoned in the UK. That should do it for today. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, make sure you like, comment and subscribe to us on YouTube, SoundCloud or wherever you're listening to us from. On Monday, we have a special UEFA Champions League postcast with Mark Langdon, where we'll be looking at an insight in the best bets from round of 16 fixtures. The golf returns on the Wednesday and we have the football on the Thursday as well. So it's a really busy week coming up. They'll be looking towards the weekend's Premier League fixtures on Thursday. So until next time, fingers crossed we get some positive news on the equine influenza. And we'll see you next time.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.